This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. A mysterious bat-killing disease is striking caves throughout the Northeast. It's been called white nose syndrome because a white fungus grows on the noses of the afflicted bats. With me now is wildlife biologist Alan Hicks, a bat specialist for New York State's Department of Environmental Conservation. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm okay. Since there are no white things on my nose, I guess I'm doing all right. Is white nose syndrome the official name for this disease, or is it too new to even have an official name?
Well, Nancy Hayslip of our office, who was the first person to have seen it, sent me a memo calling it white nose syndrome. She later said if I'd known it was going to be such a big deal, I would have try to think of a more profound name for it, but it fits. I mean, these bats, many of them, not all of them, but many of them have white on their noses. It makes them very different from those around them, so white nose it is until somebody comes up with something better.
Is that all that happens to them, or are there other symptoms of the syndrome?
Well, yeah, there's a number of symptoms that we look for. One certainly is this white nose, and it can be on a large percentage of the bats. We've had it up to almost 50% in some situations, down to almost being non-existent. And from a person just walking through and looking, they wouldn't notice it at all. Other characteristics, basically these bats are running out of fat reserves far sooner than they should during the wintertime. Our bats, we have 9 species of bats in New York State. 6 species of them deal with wintertime, which is the time when the insect food supply is not available to them. They deal with it by building up fat supplies in the fall and using those energy reserves very sparingly over the course of the winter. And typically those reserves get them through quite easily into April, mid-April, and early May when they typically come out.
And is this fungus sucking those fat reserves out of these bats?
There's no evidence of that at this time. We know that the bats are running out of fat reserves beginning in early February and is continuing to this day. Why they're running out of fat reserves is the mystery that faces us on this whole thing.
Well, somebody must have done an analysis on this fungus.
Yeah, the fungus, there doesn't appear to be any a causal relationship regarding the fungus at this point. There might be something that turns up later, but it would be similar to of somebody that has cancer coming down with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, they have pneumonia, but really the problem is cancer.
So it makes them vulnerable to this white nose problem.
Exactly, and so that's one of the symptoms we're looking at. Because of this depleted fat reserves, the bats are trying to implement strategies to help them spread these limited reserves through to the springtime. And that typically means abandoning their standard winter roosts and going into sites that are colder. Often these colder sites are near the entrances. Now, our bats, when they're hibernating, have a very strong fidelity to not only the cave and mine that they're hibernating in, but to the very rocks, the very the exact locations within these caves. We have a site up in northern New York that the rock is actually stained because for hundreds of years, bats have been coming at the same time every winter and hanging in large numbers on this one rock. And although there's no bats there in July, you could set up a camera and point it at that rock and have the shutter go off in February. And all of the Indiana bats from that region would be in that picture.
When you say reliable. You say Indiana bats, aren't
right.
These bats in the Northeast?
Yeah, we have 6 species of bats here in the Northeast that winter in caves and mines, and one of those species is the federally endangered Indiana bat.
And is this only happening in the Northeast at this time?
The whole thing started here just a little bit west of Albany. Last winter was the first time it was visible to us. We just received a few days ago information, photos from a caver that had seen it in one of the neighboring caves in the winter of 2006. So it's probably been around 2 years, but it's only been obvious to us in 1 year. And in that first year, there was 4 caves within about a 7-mile radius, and it spread this year to where our radius is about 80 miles. So most sites within 80 miles of Albany are now affected.
Why should we be concerned about this disease? What'll happen if a lot of bats die? Do they play a major role in the ecosystem?
Well, bats, it's kind of hard to calculate. One of the reasons being we don't have real good quantitative estimates of insect abundance. So if you lost a percentage of your bat population, would you notice a 10% increase in insect numbers? I don't really know. Our bats eat between 20% and 50% of their body weight per night in the summertime, depending on if they're females nursing young and that kind of stuff. And we have 500,000 bats, and they weigh about 8 grams, so if you do the math, it's an awful lot of insects that they eat in any given night in the state of New York. But on the other hand, there's a great number of insects out there. I think the question is, it's the wrong question. Because when you ask, of what particular value are these animals, it suggests that if we do not reap an immediate financial gain from the presence of any beast that's out there, then it doesn't deserve to exist. And I think I know our job in the department here of environmental conservation is making sure that the natural resources that we have in the state of New York are here for future generations, for your grandchildren and my grandchildren to enjoy and benefit from in ways that we can't today appreciate.
When are you going to be able to test them to find out what's really going on when they come out of winter hibernation?
Well, we've been testing animals very long. We have probably a dozen labs across the country that are helping on various aspects of this, from mycology to pathology to virology. And we've been collecting samples from across New York and now in Vermont and in Massachusetts as well, and sending them in for analysis. We have biologists in other states that are collecting animals that are from apparently clean locations so that these pathologists have animals to compare the sick ones to. So there's a lot of work going on in a lot of different labs across the country, and there's just no smoking gun yet.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. Alan Hicks is a bat specialist for New York State's Department of Environmental Conservation. I doubt that anybody in the New York area, the New York metropolitan area, is likely to spot a sick bat. But if they do, should they call the DEC?
Well, actually, they may be. We have bats that are turning up in places that we didn't even know bats were hibernating. In Vermont, they've identified some caves and mines that were previously unknown to the bat folks, at least, and we're getting some of the same information ourselves. So if you folks get any indications of large numbers of bats dying, they should contact their regional wildlife office. Now, that said, I'm probably creating a torrent of information here that we won't be needing, because we are almost into spring now, and some species, big browns, for example, are much more active earlier in the year than other species. So it wouldn't be unusual for an individual big brown bat to show up.
Yeah.
But to have many bats show up dead at a location, we'd certainly want to hear about it.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
Up next on States of the Union, we'll hear about the issues at stake in Wyoming, including how the state's mining industry shapes the national energy debate. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.